Welcome to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. We're talking hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, climbing, diving, and whatever else you can get up to outdoors. Here's your host of the VOCM Outdoor Hour, Leslie Ann Corrigan.
Hello and welcome back for another adventure on the Outdoor Hour. I am indeed your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you to our very first show of 2021. Well, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and talk about what a year it has been. I think we've beaten that horse. But I do want to jump on the bandwagon of talking about what I'm grateful for this past year. Any positivity wagon I'm definitely on without shame. So I do have a lot to be grateful for. The Outdoor Hour, of course, is one of those major things. And I want to take this opportunity to send a special thank you to everyone involved in the Outdoor Hour. I'd like to start with my guests. I have been blessed with some fantastic guests over the past year. The passion and expertise and knowledge and the willingness to share amongst everyone that I've come across during this show has been absolutely fantastic. And of course, you've made it what I knew it could be. This industry is a force in our economy, in our culture, and in our communities, and it's been a pleasure to shine a light on some things that are happening around that industry all over Newfoundland and Labrador. And of course, I want to thank the listeners, because without you, we wouldn't be doing this. That's 100% sure. But I knew that there were an awful lot of people who are out there involved in the outdoors, whether they're working every day and making a living from the outdoors or just wishing that they could be there more and everything in between. There are hundreds of thousands of us, almost all of us, to a man and woman and child, loves to spend time in the outdoors. And it's no wonder, because we're really blessed with all kinds of beautiful opportunities to get outdoors and explore here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So I hope you've been enjoying the show. I love to hear from you. If you'd like to reach out to us, please do so on our Facebook page. It's VOCM Outdoor Hour. And we've also got the email you can reach out to me, outdoorhour@vocm.com. Anytime. I would love to hear you. I definitely want to send out a thank you as well today to the team at VOCM who helps me make this show. I have zero technical expertise. So I'm very grateful to the people who helped me edit the show and get it on the air. But mostly I'm very grateful to the entire team for being supportive of the show and for recognizing that the outdoor industry is important to all of us. And it's been great that mainstream media wants to pay attention to this industry. So, and they've basically let me do whatever it is that I see the need to do. So it's been it's been a lot of fun. And without the sponsors, I think most specifically, I want to thank the sponsors today. These small businesses are so important to each and every community that they service. It's another cliche to say that you folks are the backbone of our communities, but you are. The outdoor industry is a force in rural Newfoundland and Labrador. And I know we talk about it so much, especially this year, but support local. It's not just a hashtag. It's not just a catchphrase. It's something that will keep us safe and happy and well through this and through any other challenging year, because 2021 is off to a great start so far. So we have no idea what might be coming. And we definitely want to support our local businesses, and they can continue to support us. And I definitely want to move on now and get into the beef of the shows for this year. I've got a whole slate of shows scheduled coming up. I'm going to get out on more adventures, and I can't wait. But this is one show that I wanted to start the winter off with. I wanted to sit down with my guest here today and talk about the winter. But unfortunately, this winter is not much to talk about so far. But I'm sure, Renee Ritter, we're going to have lots that we can get into here on the Outdoor Hour this afternoon. So thanks so much for joining us again.
Pleasure to be back. Thanks, Leslie Ann.
And in case you haven't been listening to the show, Renee was one of our very early guests here on the Outdoor Hour. And it was back when we could actually go into the studio. And we talked to Renee about skiing, and we talked to another gentleman, John Loader from Relic downtown, and talked about snowboarding. And the reason why we brought Renee in on skiing is because I thought he represented one end of the spectrum spectrum in that famous and fond pastime for so many people. But Rene gets around the Arctic by ski. So we got a chance to talk to him about his adventures and things like that. But I wanted to catch up with him to kick us off in winter, because Rene also operates a business. It's now operating in downtown St. John's that trains people on safety and how to operate businesses and adventures and all sorts of things in the outdoors in winter. So he's our winter expert. Thanks so much, Rene.
Well, thank you. Now I have a big bar to jump over, so hopefully I can be of help here.
Oh, I'm sure you can be. You were a wealth of information in the last show, that's for sure. And you can catch that, of course. All our shows are on VOCM.com. You can go back and find the episode that we talked about skiing, because we're not going to really talk too much about your adventures, Rene, but I definitely want to tell people a little bit about them because they are so fascinating. So as I mentioned, you are an Arctic explorer, so I need to know more about this. Tell us.
Well, explorer is such a grand term. I just kind of like being outside. I like the challenge of doing things that I really feel that I may not be able to do. And it's just fun to kind of push the limits and see if something that is challenging can be attainable, and, you know, just makes me more appreciative of the luxuries that we have, back home, the ability to, you know, sleep in a bed or turn on a tap and get water when you want to, or make coffee when you want to. It's a reset button for me to kind of appreciate how really wonderful life is in general, and by experiencing a little bit of hardship. And that's it.
And the hardship that you're experiencing is not just hardship of being out in the bush here in Newfoundland and Labrador. When I say Arctic, you are up in the extreme north. So tell us about some places that you've been.
One of the current projects that I'm doing now is a ski of the Northwest Passage, which is in beautiful Nunavut. I spend a lot of time living on Baffin Island and a lot of time playing on the sea ice there. And I really just enjoy getting out onto the frozen ocean and skiing and just testing my own limits, navigating in some challenging weather. And it's just an interesting place to be. Really, it's really beautiful. Despite it's the fact that it's a little bit, you know, barren, it's still full of life, and it's really just a cool experience to be there and to, be present with yourself there.
I imagine it is. I mean, I've had glimpses into that sort of feeling. I think being on the barrens when you're partridge hunting or being in a very wide open space, it is an awesome experience, and by the true sense of that word, awesome. But being in, you know, in that vast, immense expanse, it must be absolutely awe-inspiring.
It is. It's really beautiful. And a lot of people ask me why I like to do it. And I honestly don't know. I couldn't answer you, you know, why I do it. It's, like I said, it's a challenge, but it's just more of a experience. It's, there's really no answer. I can't really, people are like, you're crazy. And I probably am. I know I am.
Yeah, but there's lots like you. I mean, you're not alone up there. There's a whole community of people who do similar things, whether it's challenging themselves in the north or, you know, any other types of outdoor challenges. But they all, without exception, have a story that brought them there. Either they were adventurers as kids. What's your story?
I was never really adventurous as a kid. So it's, for me, being out, doors was a bit of a late bloomer in that regard, because I was focused on kind of doing what I was in my head thought I was supposed to do, like going to school and going to university and studying and getting a job, and then just kind of living the dream, if you will, and kind of thought after a while that this was really not my place, and thought when I moved to the Arctic, basically, in 2008, it just opened my eyes to an experience that I'd never had before, to an environment I never had before. And I met some people there who were really influential on my development in my early 30s and late 20s. So it just kind of took off from there once I kind of experienced this new phenomenon of being out in the cold and how enjoyable it can be. Started with dog sledding and then evolved into other things like skiing for a long distances in, you know, in the on the sea ice.
Right. So you moved to the Arctic for work, like so many people. The Arctic and Nunavut and places like that were another place we went to find work when Newfoundland wasn't the opportunity that we needed.
Exactly. Yeah, I moved up for 10 months and stayed 11 years. So I'm really happy to be back in Newfoundland. I love Newfoundland. Newfoundland is an amazing place, and I'm really happy to be back, and I don't envision moving back to the Arctic, but I certainly do miss visiting, especially, you know, because we can't right now, but I'm hopeful that that will change soon so that we can, you know, all mingle again in our beautiful country.
Right, yeah. I mean, and by the sounds of it, it seems like a bit of a calling to you, so I have no doubt you'll be back in the Arctic before too long.
No doubt, yeah. As soon as I'm able to, I'm gone up there, for
so
sure.
What's the next step of this journey through the Northwest Passage?
So actually, I planned to do a 510-kilometer ski last March. I was prepping to get ready to leave. I had my tickets booked, airline, everything was packed, ready to go. Food was packed, gear was packed. And, of course, then we got hit with the pandemic and things shut down. And so that's where we are. That's where I am with that. And at this point in time, I'm hopeful for 2022. There's a certain window of opportunity in the Arctic that you have to catch. It's generally mid-April to mid-May. And if you're before or after that, it's just not a feasible thing to do. It's either too cold and dark, or the sea ice is breaking up. So, I don't anticipate, you know, this April coming being a feasible thing. I'm not planning to go. So mm-hmm.
Well, you've got lots to keep you busy, because we're sat here instead of in the Arctic or outdoors anywhere at all today. We're sat down on Water Street. You may hear the trucks passing by. So we're going to take a break now and see what we're doing down here on Water Street with Renee Ritter of BFA. I am Leslie Ann Corrigan, and this is the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
We're back. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and I'm not outdoors today. I'm sat down looking out over beautiful Water Street, though. I think if you were going to be in St. John's, you should be in downtown St. John's, because it is definitely the gem of the city. I'm here with Renee Ritter, who owns and operates BFA Emergency Response Education. And before the break, we were talking with Renee about some of the adventures that he's been on, and we were talking about being out in the wild, in the Arctic, in the wide expanse, but yet here we are on Water Street, as I mentioned. So, Renee, tell us, where are we?
So, welcome to our training center. We have just moved in here, actually, back in November, I believe, beginning of November, and after a long period of traveling to different places to teach our program. So, we're really happy to be in this, like you said, the gem of St. John's downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you're in one of these lovely old buildings on the west end of Water Street. I think this area is really growing, which is really good to see as well. But Renee, you know, we talk about the courses that you're offering, but tell us a little bit about BFA. What is this business? How did this come about?
So I've been involved with like health and safety education since 2004. It started with just teaching basic first aid to people, generally at workplace, like occupational health, first aid training, and did that kind of to pay the bills and to make some extra cash to go on these adventures, because they're not cheap. and then as kind of time evolved, I've realized that this was something that I wanted to do a little bit more seriously, get involved into other areas. So we currently offer, in addition to like occupational workplace first aid training, we do a lot of outdoor programming for all ages. So it could be, you know, we've got clients who are from the federal government, provincial government, private enterprises, the general public, and we do, you know, just, you know, the standard first aid stuff all the way up to wilderness medicine, wilderness first responder courses, which are like geared to more outdoor professionals. And most recently, in the last couple of years, we've been offering ice rescue to first responders, so firefighters or search and rescue teams. So we help bring standardized curriculum on how to rescue people who've gone through the ice to people who need to be out there doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you say the standardized curriculum, are you involved with developing the curriculum for courses like this, or is this a national standardized?
So that's a great question, and this is actually an international with respect to ICE Rescue. First Aid is as well standardized, but ICE Rescue is internationally standardized. I did a lot of training in the U.S. to become certified to deliver this training, because it's obviously something that you do not want to bring somebody onto the ice and then have an event happen where someone gets hurt. So it's we follow all the guidelines and principles and curriculum for the NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Association, and those are the guidelines that we strictly adhere to in delivering that type of training to firefighters and SAR team members.
Right. So it is the the world's best training that you could possibly get in ice safety, especially.
It's definitely the industry standard, and it's a standard obviously because you would like to have all jurisdictions operating under the same umbrella with respect to how to go in and extricate somebody from a bad situation involving ice covered water.
Right. So we're going to get into the ice safety a little bit more later on in the show, because I do want to get some of your tips and best practices as people get out. We're not having much of a winter yet, but we can hope that there will be cold water, hard water soon. I know that other places, obviously in the province, and our listeners are coming from all over Newfoundland and Labrador, though. So we want to make sure that ice safety every winter, you can't talk too much about it. That's for sure. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But I first want to talk about some of the other courses that you offer. If you take a look at your website, you can see all of the different levels of training that you can get and different types of training that you can get here at BFA. Tell me a little bit more about the Wilderness First Aid.
So the Wilderness First Aid is actually, I think, my favorite program to teach, because it's like you, I love to be outdoors. So the Wilderness First Aid program, we've got three different levels, I guess, if you will. One is a 20-hour, and then there's a 40-hour, and there's an 80-hour. So as you go higher in the hours, it gets more advanced, and it gets more intense, I guess, if you will. So we try to hold as much of it as we can outside, because just to be authentic to the actual subject matter, and it's heavily based on scenario. So we talk about the theory behind how to treat someone who's sick or hurt in a really remote setting where 911 is not there, and so we dress people up in all kinds of makeup and fake, prosthetics, and people, we simulate, and that's how we help people learn, is by simulating an event so that, unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't happen, but in the event of a real situation, they feel more comfortable responding, and they know how to access help, because accessing help is what you need to do in any situation where someone is not in a hospital and they're hurt or unwell.
Right, and I can see where it would be very important to mentally prepare for situations like that, because there is no 911, and we don't realize, I think, how much we rely on that mentally. If something goes wrong, we're just going to call. But if you're going to take that time to go out and adventure, you definitely do want to be prepared. So what types of people, who takes this course in particular?
The Wilderness First Aid, in particular, we get predominantly private clients from occupations that work outside. So it could be fisheries officers or Coast Guard. It could be people in private industry who work in remote settings like mines. I'm just reflecting on some of the clients that we've had recently. But we also get a really interesting cohort of public people who come in, and they range from people who just are novice. They're looking at maybe getting outdoors. They want to get a foundation set of skills to be safe out there, all the way up to people who are extremely proficient paddlers, climbers, mountaineers, hikers. Generally speaking, people who do the program from the public, group are really interested and engaged, and they really just enjoy being outside and then doing something where they are outside, but they're also learning something. So it really varies,
Right. Yeah. It sounds like an interesting class even to take, you never know who you might kind of run into and have a few hours to learn more about. That's been the best thing about this show, is learning about what people are up to outdoors. There's so much fascinating things happening, and people who are like yourself doing things that to challenge themselves. And I think that's awesome. You've also got a swift water rescue course, a snowmobile safety course. All of these courses and this new business that you've been operating this year, you obviously need some help. So we've got an employee that's new for you this year, I guess.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got Erica Harvey here. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad you were here. When we set up this interview, we didn't realize that we would be roping Erica in. So she's been so gracious, like all of the guests is here, to just pop on and talk about what she does and the work that she does in the outdoor industry. So we're really happy to have you here, Erica. So you're the operations manager here at BFA. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your outdoorsness.
I am the operations manager here at BFA. I just help organize the courses in the training facility and occasionally help with designing new courses that we're offering. Whatever Renee needs help with really is what I do. I have a background in marine and freshwater biology, actually, and I used to work in aquatic sciences, but I didn't feel fulfilled in that field of work, so I decided to try something different. And I was just getting more and more into the outdoors, and I actually really just stumbled on this opportunity. I took a Map and Compass course with Renee over a year ago now, and that's when we first connected, and I came on to help with an ice rescue course, and just from there, things, I ended up coming on with BFA. And
you're still here.
And I'm still here.
Thankfully.
That's wonderful. And when I came in, actually, into the shop here today, you guys were putting away some of the equipment that you're using. So there must be, especially when you're taking these courses outside into the wilderness, there must be an awful lot of logistics to think about. So it's good that you're here to help, for sure.
Yes.
So I don't guess that that's something that you envisioned when you wanted to start this business. I think most people, when they start a business, they think, oh, this is what I'm going to do for a living. I'm going to have lots of fun in the outdoors. I'm going to teach people. And you're not thinking about the operations, which is what you're managing. So it's good to have help. And it's nice to see a business growing during this time. So that's an interesting part of this story. Erica, when you started here, it was pre-pandemic by just a few weeks. So how have things changed over the past year?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I came on in February, and shortly after that, in March, I got laid off like many other people, and I wasn't sure if I was going to come back on, to be honest. And to my pleasant surprise, 2 months later, Renee called me back up and told me that we were going ahead, and we did it. We went ahead and we started our summer season despite losing 2 months of preparation. So it was a bit of, you start on the ground running sort of situation, but we managed to keep it together somewhat.
I'm sure every day is a challenge when it comes to that. And that's any owning a small business, and that's never going to change, Renee. But there have been an awful lot of changes. Obviously, the phone did start to ring again. So you've been out in the field operating and offering these courses. I've noticed on your website that the calendar is full. There's lots of opportunity for people to take in a course.
Yeah, and I appreciate you for mentioning that. We've been blessed the last maybe couple of months that we've definitely picked up. The amount of business that's come through the door has certainly been a relief, considering all that's gone on. Our public courses, absolutely, we love to have people come see us. And you can register online easily. It's no problem to give us a call or come by, say hello. We're always happy to see people come through our door, and we're just here to make people's lives a little easier in a time where life is really not easy. Mm-hmm. So if you can be of any help in any way, then we're down to do that.
Right, and making things easier and being more prepared in the outdoors just makes that whole experience way more enjoyable. So we're going to talk a little bit more about being prepared in the outdoors when we come back on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
We're back on the Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we are chatting with Arctic adventurer and business owner, Renee Ritter. If you've missed the show today, you're definitely going to want to check this one out because Renee is a wealth of information about the outdoors, but I always love his adventure stories. So before the end of the show, we're going to check back in and get one more adventure before we leave. But right now, we're talking about the business side of things, Renee. Before the break, we left off with talking a bit about ice safety. You do offer ice safety courses, and I want to talk a little bit about ice safety. Give us some of your best advice for people that are going to be going out, and they may have been going out in the same area for a generation, but the ice is never the same. So give us some of your best advice.
Wow, that is a tough question to ask because there's so many things to kind of remember. As you know, people generally know, ice is in Newfoundland the last few years has been pretty unpredictable with respect to thickness and consistency across any given body of water. So the main message that we've been sort of instilled in us to teach first responders is that no ice is safe ice, that just fundamentally ice is dangerous. It's not realistic to expect people to not want to go ice fishing or skating or have fun on the ice because it's fun, right? As a stepping out of my professional role, I enjoy going out there and getting on the ice and playing hockey or whatever. The key is to watch, obviously the weather. When you have prolonged periods of freeze-thaw cycles in a short period of time, it definitely weakens the ice. And ice that appears to be safe may not be safe. Ice that is of a certain thickness in one area may not be consistently that thick throughout another area. So if you're going to go ahead and head out onto a pond, make sure that you bring appropriate safety gear with you. So fundamentally, wear like a floater suit or something that gives you buoyancy if you do go in. Make sure that you carry ice picks with you, right? That you have them accessible on your body so that if you do go through, that you can crawl out. I think a lot of people know maybe that if you do go in, you go through the ice, that you need to obviously get out and then roll away from the hole, get down and roll and then go back to shore the way that you entered. Mm-hmm. Because up until that point, if you go through, then clearly the ice before that held your weight. So it's really hard, because again, people want to go out there and explore and have fun on the water, but it's just so scary to think about the consequences if a bad decision is made. So if you get prepared, you wear the appropriate gear, bring the appropriate safety gear with you, like I mentioned, something, that will protect you from the cold, that will give you buoyancy with ice picks. Never go out alone. A big thing, if I may, is watch your dog, right? If you are walking your dog walks out onto the ice and won't come back, don't go get him or her, mm-hmm. right? That is a way that people die frequently, is by attempting to get an animal off the ice without the appropriate exposure protection. So we tell people when we're doing public talks that if you see an animal on the ice, it's a 911 call because it is a very dangerous situation to be in.
Right. And I guess that's your natural response. This is your pet, your companion, and you see that pet walk out on the ice. You just want to go out and get them. But obviously, Shih Tzus are going to be a hell of a lot lighter than you. So yeah, no ice is safe ice.
Well, that's the thing. And again, it's unrealistic to expect people to not access ice, but just watch a whole bunch of factors like what you're taking with you and the weather. And the thing is the sad reality is that when an animal goes out there, particularly a dog, there's been more than a few cases where the dog has survived. They've clawed themselves out of the water and the owner has died, mm-hmm. has drowned.
Right. So it's a tragedy really waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
For sure. And I think, as with any activity in the outdoors, especially one that involves the dangers of ice, preparation is key and having the right equipment. But what about testing the ice and checking the ice?
So what I do is personally, if I were to take my son or family on the ice, I would make sure that, the weather has been pretty cold up until that point for an extended period of time. And then I would I take basically a drill with a bit, like a wood drill bit, and then I'll go on with the appropriate protective gear, and then I will go ahead and test the ice periodically as I go out. Mm-hmm. But it's done, again, it's a really like just tenuous situation because I'm always mindful of the fact that, you know, no ice is safe fundamentally. So I don't want to go right out into the middle of a body of water. I try to stick as close to the shore as I can so that if something does happen, I have an ability to self-rescue. If you can't self-rescue, you shouldn't be out there.
Right. And I mean, to give yourselves a shameless plug here, the best way to be able and prepared to self-rescue is to do some training and to really learn the best practices in order to do that. If you're going to spend any amount of time in the outdoors on ice, that's key. So people can definitely get in touch with you at BFA Emergency Response Education, and they can drop down and check out what it is that you have to offer and check you guys out online. I know that a lot of your clientele are people who perform rescues in the outdoors. So you do work with search and rescue groups. You work with firefighters and first responders. You know, we always have this thought, this feeling every time we go outdoors that nothing bad is going to happen to us. But you work with people every day who have witnessed and who have been a part of rescuing and recovering. So I guess you can attest to the fact that things can happen and do happen in the outdoors every day.
Absolutely. And it's interesting a point you bring up because sadly, a lot of people do get hurt or lose their life in situations that they feel are pretty tame, I guess, if you will. So one of the things that we've been doing as an organization, specifically over the last few weeks even, is talking to children, talking to like different children's groups like Beavers, Cub Scouts, things like that. And the cool thing about talking to kids about being safe on the ice is that it's, you know, being outside is a really interesting topic for them. But then they go home and they talk to their parents about their experience, and their parents learn something as well. So like, you know, from the mouths of babes, if you will, you know, mm-hmm. And it ends up being a valuable learning experience for, I hope, a lot of people involved. But we always tell kids in groups, you know, do not go on the ice unless you're with a grown-up. So,
right. And yeah. I think, as you mentioned, kids do go home and talk to their parents. I know that, you know, my son, if he does, or my daughter, if they do something in Sparks or in school, that they come home and then they force us to be more safe. So they're like, oh, mom, that's how we learned how to do it in school. That's how we, so, you know, you're not going to forget your ice picks if your son is going to tell you to bring them. So that's key. And it's definitely something that you want to consider. So, Erica, you do have like an actual program now that you guys are starting for youth. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. It's a brand new program that we've developed, and I personally am very excited to teach this program. I had a lot of fun designing the program. It's really activity-oriented. So it's activity-oriented, and it's also really educational. So I think the kids would have a lot of fun and also learn a lot with these different activities. We even developed a ice rescue safety song and dance.
I love it.
Yeah, which I think is fun for all ages, personally. But time will tell.
I'm going to challenge you to come back to us and tell us how the 12-year-old boys take this song and dance. You may have to adapt the program for them, I'm thinking.
We'll see.
You'll be dancing alone. For sure. But no, it is important to make it engaging and to make, you know, and to start young with safety and education around safety. As you mentioned, Renee, that's something that will follow these people through their entire lives. If they start off adventuring in safe ways, it'll be something that's key and important to them as they go through their adventures in the outdoors. So what kind of groups are you targeting with this new course?
So a lot of youth groups like Beavers, Scouts, Girl Guides, possibly daycares.
4-H, yeah. Like yeah. Any basically any group that works with kids in groups, you know, mm-hmm. Whether it's just you know, I'm sorry, I don't know where I'm going with that, but...
any age and that sort of thing. So I guess it would be, you know, when you talk about daycares and the song and dance, you can adapt this course. As you guys have developed it yourself, it will sort of evolve, I assume.
Yep. Yeah, so we initially designed the program for ages 5 to 7, and then we started thinking about how to adapt that program for different age groups, like 9 to 11, maybe even 12 to 15, depending on where interest lies. It's very adaptable, mm-hmm. and we're flexible and really excited to engage youth.
Excellent. I love it. And it's so awesome to see how flexible you've been this year and starting this business during the pandemic and kind of changing it to suit what we need. And it's good. It's great to see. So we're going to be back right after this on the Outdoor Hour, and we're going to talk a little bit more about BFA Emergency Response Education and about what's next for you guys. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan on the Outdoor Hour on your VOC.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
We're back on the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're here with Renee Ritter and Erica Harvey of BFA Emergency Response Education. And we've been talking about being prepared in the outdoors, and we've been talking about this business in particular and the services that you guys offer. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it has been a pleasure of mine to be able to shine a light on all of the businesses that are operating in this industry. It really is, and I'll say it again, I've said it so many times, a force in our culture, in our economy, in our community. And that's what this show is all about, is talking about the businesses and the community groups and things like that who are making the outdoors not just their hobby and their passion, but also their life's work. So it's been wonderful to chat with you. I think going forward and what's next for BFA, I think we've talked a lot about that. You guys have already adapted so much in the short time that you've been open, and you've been working towards kind of the future and expanding your business. During the break, we were talking a little bit, Renee, about an adventure. So you're going to be sort of moving into guiding a little bit and taking people out on adventures. I've already booked my space on one. So tell us a little bit about that side of the business and what's to come there.
Yeah, personally, I've done a little bit of training myself in my life, and some of it has been really good, and some of it has been, I guess, you know, maybe lacking in an excitement factor, which, you know, happens from time to time.
Schools like that.
Well, you know, it is, you know, and when you're required to do training for work or school, it's often not the most engaging thing, but we just kind of go through it and suffer through it. So I think my vision in operating this business is to make that, I guess, less pronounced, and to inject a little bit more of a learner-centered focus, make it more experiential. So actually, you know, taking an educational experience, like, say, just learning basic wilderness first aid, and maybe pairing it with a little side trip, like, and that people can find some joy in just, you know, relaxing in the woods or on a pond, paddling somewhere, or camping, doing an overnight. So pairing education with an experience, I think, is the way that I'd like to see this go. And, you know, making it fun and engaging, and that people want to, they come away and they go, my goal as a provider of health and safety education is that people come out and they go, wow, that actually was pretty great, you know, mm-hmm. or at least palatable, you know, or fun even, you know. And if we can make that happen and help somebody out, and that's, you know, then that's my job is done.
Right. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to this adventure. I want to get kind of specific about the thing that we're going on here, and I want to tell people about this. And as I asked you, you can just kind of call you guys up and go on this. This isn't something that you have to book in advance or whatever. You're going to put it out there. This is when we're going. And if you'd like to come, you can come. So where are we going?
So we are going to the Avalon Wilderness Reserve, which I know y'all know how much I love the Arctic right now, but I think the Avalon Wilderness Reserve is probably my favorite place in the world.
Wow.
That I've been to, because it's just so beautiful and relatively untouched. So there's a little hill in there called Bread and Cheese Hill. So I thought, why not go to Bread and Cheese Hill, hike in there and do a little paddle and have some bread and cheese on bread and cheese.
Oh, well, if you've been listening to the show, you know how much I love to eat on my little adventures. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But I have hiked in there quite a bit, and it is, you're absolutely right, one of the most spectacular places in the world. I haven't been very many places in the world, to be fair, but I have hardly come across another place that is more awe-inspiring than that. It is stunning. So this is an adventure that you're going to take people in and hike in, and we'll go up the what I'll call the mountain, as it is on the Avalon Peninsula. But so is this a certification that people will get? Are you going to have training in this, or is this much more of an adventure?
This is maybe something down the road that we might integrate an educational experience with it, but for right now, it's more of a pleasure trip because the logistics of getting equipment in there is really challenging because it is pretty remote. Mm-hmm. So for right now, it's just a chill out and enjoy the scenery and have a cool experience in a really beautiful part of the world.
Right, but with someone, even though you may not come out certified, I have no doubt that we'll all learn something because you are such an experienced adventurer. And, and equipment, I think, is something. I think a lot of people who, when they first start in the outdoors, whether they've grown up adventuring in the outdoors or if it's something new that they've come to, equipment is often something that they feel a little daunted by. But I noticed on your website, and I didn't realize this about your business, but you guys actually do offer retail. So you sell equipment and gear and can advise people in that respect as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We're happy to talk to people about anything that they're interested in maybe getting into with respect to equipment, because as you said, there's a lot of stuff out there and a lot of it you don't need, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just to be active outside, all you really need are a pair of boots that, are comfortable and support your ankles.
And waterproof.
And ideally waterproof, especially where we live. But, but if you're looking at getting in maybe, being a bit more adventurous and maybe camping and stuff like that, if you need some advice on stoves or tents or, anything like hammocks is now becoming more popular. People are using hammocks to camp out. We'd, certainly be happy to swing on by, have a chat with you. This is what we do, and we'd love to do it, and happy to talk to you about it.
Right. And you can actually order right direct from your website. So this is obviously you don't have a warehouse here, but you must be a dealer for some of these brands.
Absolutely, yeah. So my philosophy is I won't sell you something personally that I wouldn't use, because when you go into a remote area, you definitely want to have good quality stuff, and I'm not going to sell you something that I think might not be good quality. So we deal in a lot of brands that are tried, tested, and true. They've been around for a long time, like Mountain Hardware and Primus Stoves and things of that nature. So, if you're like, it just goes back to being safe, everything involves risk. As long as you are prepared and you accept that risk, why not try it, mm-hmm. right? But have the right gear.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And as we mentioned, the climate here is so variable, especially on the Avalon Peninsula, that you do need to really be prepared for anything mentally and physically. I mean, last winter we were skiing and snowshoeing and sledding and all of that sort of thing. And now this year we're hiking and we're swamp walking, I guess you could call it.
Paddling still.
Absolutely. I saw people paddling on December 28th. It was a beautiful, warm, hot day. I was walking barefoot in the sand on the southern shore on December 28th. So anything could happen, and 2020 has really taught us that. So you definitely do need to be prepared. And what I like about buying equipment from people who are in the outdoors in Newfoundland and Labrador is, as you've mentioned, it is tried and tested for our particular conditions, because something that may work in BC that you see has a great rating on a national dealer may not be what you need here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So it's always good to reach out to your local community, whether it's Renee here, who's got the more extreme sort of advice for you, and anything else in between. But any local dealer knows that their products work here, because why else would they sell them if they don't work here? It would be absolutely counterintuitive. So we've talked a little bit about your adventure, Renee, and I would like to finish off with that. I want a story about the most memorable thing or the most fantastic thing that happened to you while you were on one of these Arctic adventures.
The most memorable or fantastic? There's been a few. Hard to kind of nail down one. I remember I did a trip in Greenland a few years ago, and when you ski on the ice cap there, you basically ski uphill for about 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. then you finally get to the plateau, the summit, and it was really stormy. Like, it was basically blizzard conditions. The wind was whipping around, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm scared, right? And when I saw that, I made me even kind of more fearful. But, you know, I don't know. It's considering what we're going through right now. And I'm not a very philosophical person, but when things get tough, you just keep your head down and keep pushing forward. So I find that I've been reflecting back on that experience quite frequently during the last 10 months that, you know, you just kind of got to keep pushing forward. And get through all the nastiness to get to the real good stuff, because anything that's hard is often worth it, and you just kind of keep pressing on. So that's one thing that I've been thinking about lately. And you know, the other thing that comes to mind is I have a young son. He's 3 years old, and I'm really excited to start taking him out this year and doing some stuff and introducing him to see what he's interested in, because you know, what he's interested in may not be what I want to do. And if he's interested in doing something that I don't like, then more power to him. You know, everybody has their own niche, and it's cool to see him explore and to see his face when he sees something cool.
Yeah, it is an amazing experience to see life through a child's eyes, especially in the outdoors. It has been an absolute pleasure again to chat with you, Renee. It's always a great conversation, and you can come down anytime to Renee's new place down at 564 Water Street and have a chat with him or Erica about what they do and the business and services that they offer in the outdoors in Newfoundland and Labrador. I, for one, am very much looking forward to some bread and cheese on bread and cheese in the spring, and it's going to be awesome. So stay tuned to the Outdoor Hour. Obviously, I'm going to make a show about it. So you're going to hear all about my adventure. You could even come along. I would love to have you, and I'd love to hear from you anytime at all. Do check us out online. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan on VOCM.